How you doing?
Yeah, good, good.
Andrea?
Oh, lovely, lovely sound effect of the golf there.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it, you know, it's the bonus material. That's what you
give
need.
Give them what
just
they
sitting
want.
Around drinking coffee and eating croissants.
Or just casual.
And fruits after the show.
And the runners buzzing around, you know, just, you know.
You can't hear them, can you? Yeah.
No, they we're understaffed here, aren't we?
Yeah.
There should be runners.
We keep them silent as
it's
they should
just
be.
Poor old Mark.
It is poor old Mark today. Yeah. He's on his own.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
he struggles as it is with the two regular helpers he has. By
exactly,
side,
yeah.
Or the producer and associate producers, I think they like to be called, not helpers. But on his own, because it's old Swiss's birthday.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So
yeah.
He's taken the day off, because he's 12.
Yeah.
Is he going to bring sweets to the class?
He's off as well. You'd like to think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, my Ted had a real hard line on the old sweets in the class thing at school the other day. You know, you hand them out to everyone as they leave on your birthday. He was like, he's introduced a new rule. You're not allowed to take any for siblings. Like, because normally the kids will go, oh, can I have one for my sister who's outside the school as well, waiting to go home? And he was like, no. It's for classmates only.
Oh, I like that.
No siblings. But he only does it so he has about five or six left over there.
Well, I know exactly why he's doing it. I mean, we all understand the lads' techers.
I like it. It's a great new rule.
How was his 21st?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
good. No, so Teddy's now 7, isn't it?
Yes, he is. Yeah, yeah. 7 years old.
Just so he can listen back to this podcast bonus material in years and years to come as like a time capsule. And I mean that. I'm fascinated by the idea of that.
You
were up. You were up really late.
Yes.
On Sunday night.
Yeah, well, yeah, the night before his birthday, yeah, yeah.
What were you building for him?
A go-kart, a new go-kart.
Oh,
wow. It was a nightmare build. It was one of those two-hour builds. I missed traitors and everything.
You should have got Leona. Yeah. She'd have helped you.
Oh, yeah, she would have done a great
handy,
job. She's
yeah.
very good. But, yeah, it was fine. He loves it. But the seat needs adjusting slightly.
The seat was the trickiest bit, wasn't
it?
It
was. Yeah, that's what took the long time.
Have you done it?
Not yet, no. We're not going to go out until it stops raining, and it's never going to stop raining at the moment, so I'm just going to hold off.
Yeah, you've got until April to sort that out.
Yeah, So does Ted, because Evie's into stickers, right?
Yes.
So it's the Sarger Boys, who are the boy band in K-pop Demon Hunters,
yes.
The biggest
yes.
movie ever on Netflix.
Yes.
It's a haunting look into the future. Seeing her and her little mates, when I stick it on and the Sarger Boys appear, they're all like agog.
Yeah.
Like that.
Really?
I remember watching my sister do the same face when she saw Take That.
Yes.
Or to a lesser degree, E17, but she just loved a bit of Brian Harvey.
Yeah.
But that's my sister all over. But we're going to be talking on the show about stickers because we celebrate National Sticker Day. So they're in Evie's life in a small way. And she peels one off and sticks it on her jeans, but she's not got an album or any of that kind of stuff.
Got into stickers at all yet, which I'm quite pleased because they probably cost about £5 a pack these days, stickers, don't they? So no, he's shown no interest in any kind of stickers, thankfully.
Well, we had so many messages about this that we've decided to share some of them with you here in the bonus material. Helen in Gloucestershire had a Take That sticker album in the mid-90s. Again, I remember my sister having that. Trying to line up the multi-sticker picture was high pressure and so rarely worked. No one will have this unless they grew up in Melbourne and are incredibly sad. In 1985, I collected Neighbours stickers.
Oh.
I told myself it was the stick of gum in the pack, but secretly, we know the truth.
Holding out for a Kylie.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's Mark, the Hypebeast Woman executive producer, Mark, he said that's not true. Because he had Neighbours stickers growing up.
Yeah.
He pointed out he didn't grow up in Melbourne, but he was, of course, incredibly sad. Anne in Staines says, good morning, Dave and the team. I remember the E.T. extraterrestrial sticker album. I was so obsessed with completing my book, I spent all my birthday money on stickers. My mum and dad were not impressed. That was 82, I was 10. I still feel guilty to this day. Well, Anne, when you actually messaged in originally during the week when we were doing stickers for the first time, which, again, you will hear as part of the best of the week, it turns out that both Matt and I agree that E.T., the movie, is massively overrated.
What?
I know. I can't even believe I'm saying it out loud.
Well, I cried when I first saw it at the cinema, but since then, I've grown up a bit. And I realized,
and how was your 21st?
Yeah, I realised maybe it's not as good as I remember.
I mean, are you shocked?
It's great. Kid actor as well. Isn't he amazing.
Elliot's great, yeah.
Have you seen his audition tape?
No.
Better than E.T. It gets shared online every now and again.
Really?
I got served it on Instagram. It's in the audition room, and he does such a good job, and he kind of channeled as like such a young actor, because he was like 10 or 11 at the time. He channeled actually feelings from his own life and his own family and his own loss when talking about the extraterrestrial going home. And he starts to cry, and he delivers it so brilliantly for such a young actor. And what's really nice is at the end of the take, just before the clip ends, you hear whoever it is, it's not Steven Spielberg, but whoever it is in the background going, "I think you got the job, kid."
Wow.
Yeah,
amazing.
So removing. Wow. I feel really guilty for slagging off E.T. now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the cycling over the moon effects don't look great.
Is that jumping the shark for you too much?
I think so, yeah.
Literally. In fact, you know, one of the current trends at the moment is to share what you would look like and what you were doing in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, I did that on my Instagram, Dave_Berry_Insta, and the final picture you'll see in the album is inexplicably myself and Laura Whitmore recreating E.T.
Oh, yes,
and Elliot.
I saw that. Yeah, you're E.T., aren't you?
I'm in a basket. I'm in a little basket at the front of a bicycle. You can see that picture for yourself. I really don't know why I don't like E.T. It's just it affected my world so massively. So anyway, welcome to the Best Bits of the Week That Was podcast. Really appreciate you being involved in this. Enjoy the show.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Matt Dyson and the Social Ammunition. Matt, what do we need tonight?
The latest figures are in, Dave, on the nation's tastes.
Okay.
This is a key indicator. The fuel that is powering our workday, Tesco, have revealed the UK's favourite meal deal combo.
Ooh.
This has been massive on TikTok in the past 24
hours. By region
and
area?
No, they do break it down, but they've gone for, on average, what is the most popular three choices.
Excellent.
For snack, main and drink. So it's a daily question for many of us.
May I get the ball rolling?
Yes, please do.
Probably the tuna kind of sub sandwich, with the sesame seed bun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Always a 7-Up or a Sprite. It's got to be one of those
two. Oh, really? Okay.
And then either salt and vinegar crisps or the carrot sticks with the hummus.
Okay, nice. Depending on how healthy you're feeling. Yeah, yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah,
what about you?
I'm often a samosa as a side if I can.
Are
and
you?
Then a coronation chicken wrap and then a smoothie. But, you know, in Boots, they do a goo pudding, like a proper goo pot.
Do they?
As one of the sides in the meal.
One person's meal deal is another
very
person's
tempting
feast. Yeah. Yeah. Believe what you're having, Emery.
I suppose for you, Andrew, it's just all complex carbohydrates and sourdough.
A little bit of sushi, you know me. Yeah, edamame, that kind of thing. Smoothie,
that's an
healthy.
I feel so basic in my choice.
Well, I know, but don't worry. But look, it shows sort of the changing habits of the nation, what has come top by Tesco. So the choice of sandwich is the chicken club, right, which I suppose is quite middle of the road, quite a safe bet as a sandwich. But then the snack is an egg pot. So that is the most popular.
Oh, we're turning into a Huel nation, aren't we?
Yes,
really?
Exactly.
It's for
this the
protein.
Getting the proteins in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've been eating a few egg pots and spinach recently. It's not too bad. I always thought the idea sounded horrific. But
it's an egg. What do you mean it sounded horrific? It's an egg.
I know, but I don't normally eat eggs on their own.
It's
boiled eggs on their own. You know?
The fact someone else has peeled it or something else has peeled it makes me feel a bit weird about it.
It is a bit weird.
Something else has peeled
else
it, yeah.
Something
the Hypebeast Womble did not like that imagery. Bear in mind, this is the man who can't even watch another human being eat a banana, so he's not going to have someone else peel his egg. That's for sure.
It is. There's too many boiled eggs everywhere at the moment. And then the drink is Red Bull. I mean, I could not believe
that's quite shocking.
So we're eating, like, boiled eggs and Red Bull every day.
Think of the pop-pops.
Our guts are going to be in a state. I mean, there are a few regional variations, like Wales have just ham sandwiches and McCoy's crisps and full.
They're my kind of people.
As the
Scotland, we like it to be like a packed lunch you'd have if you were 12 on a school trip. That's what I want from
the
meal
Midlands
deal.
To the South East, it's all egg pots, chicken sandwiches and Red Bull, according to these figures. It's madness. Just head north, head north. For a train journey that's not going to smell, I'd say. That's my advice. Head north. And then there's an interesting story with a lot of collective nouns for groups of animals, because we're all familiar with the murder of crows, obviously, and like different groupings of animals and what they're called. But there are some on this list that I was not familiar with, like a smack of jellyfish. That's what they're called when you see a lot of them. The beach is covered in jellyfish. It's a smack of jellyfish. A shiver of sharks is another one unfamiliar with. A consortium of octopuses. I don't know who comes up with these and decides that
great job. I'd love that job. It's a skulk of foxes, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Mm. So that's what you call a family gathering.
Yeah,
so
we do.
That's our Christmas.
Everyone. It's bizarre. I presume fishermen come up with them and then it gets passed on to the people at the dictionary office. I don't know.
Honestly, for a moment, when you said something, I thought I was going to learn something. And just a minute later, you're saying the dictionary.
Very
about
office.
The words. We're not learning about where they come
is
from.
Is it octopi? Would it not be octopi?
It probably would be. Why would you call it a consortium of all things?
A consortium of octopi, or is it octopuses?
No, I think it is octopi, I think. But yeah, a bob of seals, a battery of barracudas, a bed of clams, and a troubling...
Are you ordering something? I'm not your local takeaway, mate.
And a number 42.
a troubling of goldfish. Because they're not
They are troubling, though, aren't they? Well, they are troubling. They look troubled, to be fair.
They don't have great lives, the goldfish, generally, or they didn't.
But they can't remember it, so it's fine.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So they do look troubled, but a troubling... And a cast of crabs is quite nice, isn't it? But yeah, there's some weird ones.
I might call the dictionary office after the show and find out who came up with it. We need to get on to those guys.
The fisherman, the dictionary office. Sort your lives out. And then elsewhere, it's the Manchester Derby coming up in the Premier League this weekend. So it's time for some cliched football TV coverage. Jamie Hutchinson, the comedian, has done this. It's going to be what we'll see. It's a spoken word piece.
It's the blight of modern football.
Of course, this will definitely be happening. I saw one about the North London Derby the other day that nearly made me sick
in my own mouth.
was it on Hackney Marshes?
Oh, gosh. don't start me off.
Don't start me off. This is pre-match. It's spoken word poetry, all about Madchester and the culture of Manchester. This is exactly what it's going to sound like.
Red versus blue. Which one are you?
Busby Babes, I see in the raves.
Rolando Bianchi, Mike Summerby, Bernardo Carade. Hello, is that West Ham?
Don't dare say we're dead.
Alan's Dar, snapped by Roy Keane. You know what I mean?
Stone Roses, Sunshine.
Always adhering to condescending stereotype.
Our mams gave birth with no epidurals. Come to our cafes with Ian Curtis murals.
Northern Soul, Liam and Noel. Won't catch me in London.
Fair enough for coming up with epidurals to rhyme with murals. They're lovely work. I'll share the full thing on my Instagram stories. Last week on the Social Ammo, we played this clip of beatboxer Grace Savage playing with the name James Nesbitt, getting more and more Northern Irish as she started beatboxing around his name. Let's just relive it one moment.
Yes, it's amazing. It's so good.
James Nesbitt. I love James Nesbitt. James.
She's
so good.
So good.
Also, I love James Nesbitt as well. Yeah, so it works on every level for me.
It's one of the clips of the year already by this stage. And then the stars aligned, Dave. Andrea Fox suggested, wouldn't it be great if Grace could do one of those for Dave, our glorious leader? And then, about an hour later, she got in touch with me on Instagram. She'd heard us talking about her work on The Breakfast Show. All right, Grace Savage, turns out she's from Bromley, not Brighton. I don't know why we thought she was from Brighton. She's from Bromley. She runs her own beatbox school.
Right? Well, that explains it.
Savage Sounds Beatbox School. So she trains kids up in how to beatbox. The future is bright in the world of
beatboxing, which I'm so pleased to hear.
Which is amazing. And not only that, but she sent through a reworking of the name David Berry.
No.
So instead of Northern Irish, she sort of went a bit cockney, dare I say, as you'll hear. You're going to love this, Dave. Don't worry. It's so good.
Dave Berry.
Oh, Grace.
Dave Berry. Oh my God, it's Dave Berry. Dave Berry.
Oh, so good, isn't it? Thanks, Andrea. Thank you, Grace. It's a win for everyone. What the scratching sound effect she does is amazing, isn't it? I think I want to learn how to do that at the Savage Sounds Beatbox School. I really do.
Can I hear it again?
Yeah, I think it's worth it.
I know it's
worth
a rewind, ladies and gentlemen, but I really want to hear it again.
Dave Berry.
It makes me a bit Essex, but...
Dave Berry.
That is so good.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Dave Berry.
I never thought about...
Oh, God, it's Dave Berry.
Putting a snort into my beatboxing.
No, I know. It's good, though, isn't it?
Dave Berry. Gary.
Oh, well, that's the promo sorted for the next 2 years. Thanks, Grace.
It's a great little tip, that, the snort for the bass, isn't it?
Yeah. And it are you snoring? No, sir, Jane, I'm just doing the bass.
Beatboxing. Leave me.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Is it weird that somebody I've never met before has said my name over and over again and then done some beatboxing? Yes, yes, it is. It is weird.
Real beatboxing matters.
Yeah, it does. Rob on the text has just asked, by the way, does she do requests? Can she do a reworking of the 1 out of 5 on Fiverr's 5 grand song? I mean, you could maybe add a little bit of breakdown on your name in the middle of that song, dare I say, to add to the 12-inch remix.
It was meant to be just a little bit of a jingle to annoy people that they only got 1 out of 5 or 5 words, 5 grand, but now it could become, you know, like a mega album, couldn't it? Yeah. I mean, if we added some beatboxing in there as
it's
well.
It's your magnum opus.
It's my magnum opus, indeed it is, Matt Dyson. So that's kind of quite weird for me. There's something else that's weird for me. I'm going to say at this stage, I'll explain more a little later on in the show, is it is 18 minutes past 7 and 19 seconds. I'll tell you why it's weird. It was very tricky for me to do that, yes. Tell you the time. Matt Dyson, are you going to let your freak flag fly?
I've been drinking a new alcoholic beverage, right? And it's not really age appropriate, okay? My niece has got me into it. I want to know.
Oh, it's not age appropriate. Young.
Yeah, yeah. I want to just gauge whether it's acceptable for a man of my age to be drinking this, right? Okay, but I'll let you know.
It's not powdered milk, is it? In a little Tommy Tippy.
Formula.
No, okay. Andrew, what about you? You've been weird? Anything weird going on?
It's my husband who's been weird.
Oh, I love it when it's your husband being weird.
I know, he shared something that he's been keeping from me for 8 years of marriage. And I'm shocked. I'm honestly shocked.
Okay, so we're going to be getting into all of those a little later in the show. But right now, it's your opportunity to come and join in. Complete the sentence. Is it weird that... You are listening to Absolute Radio, where real music matters. It is your Monday morning. The time is... The thing is, that's the weird thing. I can't tell the time anymore because for some reason they've decided to change the studio clock so much so that the hands, so if I was to tell you the time in an analogue fashion, it wouldn't be precise. That's why I use the little clock setting. But they've embedded that onto the face of the new TV-based clock here in the studio. And therefore, the big hand, the little hand, and the second hand are constantly sweeping over the digital clock that allows me to give you the all-important time checks that you expect from your friendly radio DJ
host. Bit of a design flaw, isn't it, really?
It's a massive design flaw. They must have installed the new software for this clock at 9:15 last night, because that's the only time that the other clock would have been visible. So I've got a window frame of time checks now on breakfast. It starts at 7:40 and it ends at 8:23, and then the same is repeated at 8:40 and 9:23. So you're going to get time checks galore then. But unfortunately, for the rest of the 4 hours we're on air live from 6 till 10, the way in which I will tell you the time, unless I decide to go analogue, and I ain't going there, sister, let me tell you, they're going to have to until somebody who understands this better than I do into the studio. Look at it right now.
Yeah, I know. It's
I can make out a 3 and a 6. Yeah. So I know it's 36. And let me look at my iPhone. It's 8:36. So you don't pick that up every time. It's weird. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, a 20-minute window.
It's weird that you would think that is how you improve a clock.
It's a bizarre choice.
It's got one job, mate. It's so I can tell everyone the time on it.
The only point of a clock is to tell the time.
You might as well have just gaffer taped a plate to the ceiling of the studio. It's so different. Matt Dyson, earlier on this morning, you told a tale of drinking age inappropriate drinks.
Yes, yeah.
What is it?
It's not Aptamil, no. It might surprise you to learn that I have been drinking Buzz Balls.
Oh,
not
what
this morning.
What is
this? That's what I thought, yeah. What is all
this? All
the
right,
Nan,
I'll explain.
Thank you.
In between Christmas and New Year, I met with my brothers and all their family, and my nieces were talking about Buzz Balls. All the kids are hyping these things up because they come in like cans that are like shaped like a tennis ball.
Yeah, sort of round.
And they're
quite strong, you probably
encountered them the same way I've had, Andrew, which is you've seen them discarded in the street.
A load of teenagers or Matt have been stood at the corner
of your road in the middle of the night drinking these things.
So my nieces were telling me about it, and we thought we've got to try them.
We simply must.
I went out with my sister-in-law Helen. We bought a massive box of Buzz Balls.
So we
were all drinking. It tastes like an Alco Pop, really, but it's about 15%, so it's quite strong. Ooh. Yeah, so, but my niece, Chloe, she thought, because it's 15%, she thought it's about the equivalent of alcohol in a bottle of wine in one little tiny can, which is not how it works.
It doesn't work that way. And 15% on a bottle of wine, that would be a big old Argentinian Malbec right there. Yeah.
There's so much hype around Buzz Balls, and they taste like melted ice poles, but we all had a few, and it was quite nice. There were like three generations of those. Helen's mum was there, me and my brothers, and all the nieces. We were all sitting around getting buzzed on the boozy balls of goodness, and it was bizarre. I wasn't expected to be drinking Buzz Balls, but I'm a convert.
Are you ever going to drink them again?
I might have. Yeah, I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't say no to a Buzz Ball.
I love that you're recommending Buzz Balls to us all. And did you? What, you sat down and had them indoors? Though you didn't go and stand on a street corner,
did you?
You weren't sitting on the swings in the park, were you? Thinking they're going to close this at dusk.
Oi, mate, go and buy some Buzz Balls, please. We'll give you a tenner.
Yeah. There he is, silver haired, full beard. Oh, please go in and buy these for us, Gov. Andrea, you said earlier that your husband of 8 years, he's been keeping something from you.
Yeah.
And it's a second family, you say. So what? what have you found out? What has he been keeping from you?
Well, just to give you some backstory, my heritage is Irish, right? He recently told me he doesn't like jacket potatoes. Okay. And I felt offended for my heritage.
Okay,
the potato is very big to Ireland and its history.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a jack of potato, it's so high up there for effort versus taste ratio for me.
Ooh,
would you
really?
Not agree?
Yeah.
The jack of potato, the humble, delicious.
Jack
yeah,
potatoes.
I mean,
it's a very versatile
so
base
versatile.
For all flavours, isn't it?
I think, yeah, I mean, I too have Irish heritage. My mum's from Ireland, and I don't know whether that means I love the potato, but I think I'm not sure if that's a thing, Andrea. However, I will say that I do like potato in every form, and I think jackets in my top three.
Why would you rule them out? Why would you just never have a jacket potato? That is sad.
It is sad, right? Ooh. He's missing out. He's missing out.
The Spud vans, we've talked about these before.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love them.
They're so good.
Yeah, cheese and beans. You can get whatever filling you want.
How are you only just finding this out?
I don't know.
Did you offer to make him one or something? He went, oh, no, you know I don't like jacket potatoes. You were like, what?
We did. My family came round. I thought, what's an easy dinner for six people all at once? Jacket potatoes. And afterwards, he was like, I've got something to tell you.
Oh, my God.
That was disgusting.
Yeah. I hated that meal.
Having a jacket potato and a Buzz Bomb is like my favourite way of spending a Saturday night. I mean, what's not to love about that, hey? Wow.
Absolute Radio's Three Dart Challenge with Wix Trade Pro.
Yes, welcome once again to the Absolute Radio Three Dart Challenge. Every presenter on the station has just three darts. But who will achieve the highest score? You can vote on the website right now for whoever you think will win the challenge. And if you're right, you could be winning £1,000 to spend in-store or online at Wix, all thanks to Wix Trade Pro. Save 10% every time you shop, and there's no minimum spend. Just download the Wix Trade Pro app right now. And what's more, well, whichever one of the presenters wins, Wix are going to donate £5,000 to a charity of that individual's choice, which is just remarkable. Now, on Friday, we spoke to a listener by the name of Andy. He's the movie chef, and it appears that Andy has lived many, many lives. Not only is he the movie chef, he was also a paratrooper, and most importantly of all, a former semi-professional darts player. Andy the Pegasus Hooton, who beat Big Cliff Lararenko, that's not how you say his surname, in the Isle of Wight final, and also played in the News of the World Finals too. And to succeed, Andy had a couple of tips. We need some walk-on music, which we'll pick later in the week. Mm-hmm. And we need a darts nickname. He said that was absolutely crucial.
Has to be done,
Luke the Nuke Littler.
Exactly.
So Matt and I have had the weekend to think about ours. Andrea is already going to be Little Focky.
Your suggestion, but it's locked
Fox
in now, really, isn't it?
It's Fox on the Ocky. Yeah. It's Focky. Dream big, Little Focky. That's what we've got for you.
Good.
That is locked in. It's part of the podcast that came out on Friday. It cannot be changed. It is legally binding. So, Matt, it is time for you to tell us what's going to be on the back of your shirt.
the hairy situation.
Oh!
It's a classic nickname of mine. I believe you gave it to me back in the day, Dave.
I did, back in the
day. I toyed with Matt the Python Dyson, which Carl the Cobra Frotch used to call me in Nottingham back in the day as well. But I think the hairy situation is possibly my best ever nickname, so I'm going to go with that.
Oh, I absolutely love that. So I played with a, and this is a real thing, by the way, a random darts player name generator online.
Oh, yes.
And they were they were all awful. Yeah. There was even a button that you could tick, which kind of said, like, you're up for risque names. I was like, yeah, I'm up for risque names. But they were just all so poor. Yeah. So what I've decided to do is, I'm confident that I'm going to win whoever votes for me the £1,000 to spend in-store online at Wix. And I would love to give £5,000 to the charity of my choice, which, of course, is the Melza, which is an amazing hospice in my native southeast London. I'm so confident and leaning into one of this breakfast show's most iconic features, I'm going to be Dave. Three darts, £5,000, Berry.
Oh, yes.
Here I am.
Key messaging. Right.
Exactly. It's all about the key messaging, I think you'll find. So we have our names. We're going to be picking our walk-on music tomorrow or later on in the week. But right now, what you need to do is vote for which Absolute Radio presenter you think will get the highest score with just three throws of the arrows. You could be winning £1,000 to spend at Wix. Head to absoluteradio.co.uk.
Absolute Radio's three dart challenge with Wix Trade Pro. Download the app now or find out more at absoluteradio.co.uk.
The dartboard is in the house.
Yes, it is.
Sorry about that. And it looks fantastic, doesn't it?
It looks great, yes. The hockey is in place with a sign saying, do not play with this. It's specifically for breakfast show use only.
Well, that leads me nicely on to what I would like to share with you all right now. And I have asked his permission to be able to share this with you because somebody decided it would be a good idea to try out the dartboard by throwing three arrows at it. Mm. Now, of all of the people that could have been chosen to do that, this was during the afternoon. This was like, oh, the dartboard's here. Let's see if it's, you know, up to scratch. Yeah? Well, it certainly is now, pardon the pun, because the person in question didn't hit the board.
At all.
At all. So the first time they didn't hit the board, they were like, oh, I know what I should do. Not hand the darts over to someone else to have a go. I'll have another go. And they didn't hit the board. And then thrice they didn't hit the board. So who would you choose from the entire Breakfast Show team to test out the Absolute Radio 3 Darts Challenge dartboard? You pick the producer who lacks depth perception.
Yes, unfortunately, you have no depth perception, do you, Swiss?
I don't.
So I've asked old Swiss, I said, can we talk about your lack of depth perception? This is the same affliction that dogged Hannah Hampton she had an operation and became a national treasure, an England sporting hero. Dave hasn't had that operation.
And that's why the darts were in, didn't touch the board.
And that's why Leona's taken to her socials with real close-ups of all of the holes that are now around the board, saying, who's done this?
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Got. Yes, welcome to National Sticker Day, everybody!
Oh, what a day. My favourite day of the year.
I would have kept on going with that. I just didn't realise what an exhilarating thrill it would be just to be saying got and need over and over again to the nation.
I liked it.
I feel like an adrenaline junkie. It is National Sticker Day, so that's the topic du jour. The number is 81215. Effectively, share your memories of collecting stickers. Maybe you still do that now. Yeah. But when you were a child, and obviously it'll be interesting to know, depending on your age, what you were kind of collecting back in the day. So, Matt, let me start with you. You know, in Dickensian London, what were people collecting back then?
Well, no, my sticker journey started in 1986. I know that for a fact.
Okay. Why?
Cue the Ingmar Bergman, Fanny and Alexander sounding music, if you will, David. I remember the panini being about 12p a packet back then.
Right.
12p a packet.
Wow.
For six
12 shillings
a 12 shilling.
12 shillings a
hackney.
Wow.
Anyway, I just remember I just fell in love with football around then. Just all the badges, the shinies, the kits, the West Bromwich Albion kit. They were sponsored by No Smoking. I remember it in 1986. Such a weird thing. I just fell in love with
a good
all
idea.
The art. It's a really good idea, wasn't it? They were ahead of their time.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, back then that applied to the players, didn't it?
Yeah. And then, like you say, playing out on the playground with all your stickers and elastic bands, playing Got Need and all that. And then when we couldn't complete the book, me and my brothers all went to Alton Towers to this like sticker fest thing where they would have all the spare stickers so you could fill your book. So I could fill Football 86.
Did you fill it? I
went
86?
There, yeah, and I filled it. It was the only one, the first one I ever filled. And John Craven was there from John Craven's News Round. And there was other... it was amazing. And that's when I fell in love with stickers. But the smell of a Panini packet back then, I used to love it.
Yeah.
I don't know what they put in the glue, but yeah, that's I also fell in love with that as well. But yes.
That was another thing just say no to back in the 80s as well. Matt, I'm intrigued about this whole Alton Towers trip.
Oh, well, the memories are hazy days. So I think it was either...
Were you drunk or...?
No, it was just such a long time ago. I was only about 9 or 10, and it was at Alton Towers at the theme park on a summer's day, which makes me think it may not have been Football 86. Maybe it was Mexico 86, right. The World Cup sticker book.
Wow.
And I loved those because that... And it was always really weird when Scotland had just two players per sticker. The smaller nations had two players per sticker, and the bigger nations had one player per sticker. I thought
on behalf of Scotland,
that was quite disrespectful, wasn't it? Very disrespectful. But yeah, it was mad. There was like a tent full of plastic boxes of spare stickers, and you root through and find the number of the ones you hadn't got.
Was this
and then
thing
complete the album?
Was this event like an official product, or was it just some guy who rocked up in the car park Alton Towers and put a gazebo up?
It was an official Panini event that they obviously advertised in Look In or something and the magazine. And then we went there, and for some reason, John Craven was there. He wasn't doing news round, it was like a personal appearance by John Craig.
Well, why not? Why not chuck him? Just make it even more random than it already is. I don't think I've ever completed a sticker album.
No.
It's quite a moment. Well,
you know what? Another station I worked at, we did complete one. And then
did you?
I don't know where it ended up. So technically, I could have held one onto one.
What, like a Panini one?
Like a Panini one.
Panini one. Wow, okay.
Mm.
And did you go to any events to complete it, or did you just randomly open the...
I just bought loads of stickers.
Kim in Stafford says that when she was little, they would collect scratch and sniff stickers in the 80s.
Oh, that's a throwback, yes. Isn't it?
I used to put them on my school books. Chris in Rochdale has hit me hard with this one, getting all the feels, and also from Ruth in Telford. When I was younger, I had Garbage Pail Kids stickers all over my room.
Yes.
They were rude versions of the Cabbage Patch Kids. I was such a fan. Ruth says, my siblings and I collected Garbage Pail Kids stickers. There was Slimy Hymie, Overeaten Ethan, and Gooey Louie.
Yes.
Quite gross, really, but we loved them. You've hit me so hard there, Chris and Ruth, that I've actually ventured online, and on eBay you can get a complete set for £103.
Oh, really? Wow. Really,
I mean, I'm not going to,
no.
But just so we all know, if we all wanted to club together, I don't know, it's my birthday in September, I'm just chucking it out there, okay? I'm just letting you know. And one that has certainly grabbed my attention comes courtesy of Darren from Grantham, who joins us right now. Good morning, Darren.
Morning, Dave. Morning, team.
Darren, Hi, welcome to the show. So, Darren, what a big opener to your correspondence. You used to collect the Back to the Future stickers. That's so... We've been looking at it on Google, and it is so cool.
Amazing, isn't it?
Now, what you're about to hear is quite the tale, because one day at school, in an attempt to get you to behave yourself at long last, you naughty boy, your teacher took one of those huge pairs of scissors that you only ever saw at school.
Yeah.
You know, you never saw
Why?
Outside of school, did you? Massive pair of scissors, and threatened to cut up your Back to the Future sticker album. And you smiled defiantly at her because you knew something she didn't. What was that, Darren?
Well, I knew that what she'd actually picked up wasn't my awful Back to the Future sticker album. It was my friend Emma's pretty much full Back to the Future sticker album.
Oh, now this is Emma Savage, isn't it? Let's give her a full name on air, shall we? Just ahead of the full apology that you probably owe her. So did the teacher cut up Emma's nearly full Back to the Future sticker album?
I am ashamed to say yes, she did.
Oh, no! Was Emma Savage in your class at the time?
Yes, yes. And Emma hadn't realised that it was her book that she'd picked up. Oh. It was one of those old junior school classrooms where we all had a tray and everything went in the tray at the side of the classroom with your personal stuff. And the teacher had gone to watch, thought it was my tray, and it was Emma's tray.
Oh. I feel like this is Emma's like villain canon event for her life if she were in a superhero movie. This is what changed her.
This is Emma Savage's rich backstory as to why she became the person she is today. So Emma wasn't aware that the teacher had accidentally picked up her Back to the Future sticker album, but you were.
No.
You allowed her to cut it up. So what I've got to know is, how old are you at this time, Darren?
I would have been about 8.
8 years old. Oh, no. So you're 8 years old. That's around Evie's age. It's around my daughter's age.
Imagine the teacher doing that in this day and age.
Oh, yeah. But imagine awful. Being...
You'd never get away with it.
You'd never get away with it, and rightly so. So at what point did you broach the difficult subject with Emma Savage that the teacher had just cut up her Back to the Future sticker album?
I think it would have been after the lesson when Emma went to her tray and realised that her sticker album wasn't there.
Just tatters, just little bits of cut-up sticker.
It's been in the shredder. Did you, not the clock tower page! I just got Doc Brown! Did you offer to give her your Back to the Future sticker album?
Hand on heart, I can't remember her, but...
that means no! It's too late for that, young man! Hand on heart, arse, how dare you! We know what kind of character you are, Darren, from Grantham.
Selfish Darren.
Oh, unbelievable. So, Darren, what's the lovely little twist here... is that Darren and Emma are now married. No, not really. Darren, but you're still friends with Emma, right?
That's correct, yeah, we are still friends. It took her a long time to forgive me and a lot of apologies, and I'm still not sure that she properly has.
Well, this is it. This is the final apology. She's been in your life for 40 years. Darren, the floor of the Breakfast Show and its 2.5 million listeners is all yours. Give Emma the apology she deserves that she's been waiting 4 decades for. Take it away.
Emma, it's Darren. I can, hand on heart, I can only offer you my apologies because I've looked on eBay and the sticker albums are really, really, really expensive. So I can only offer an apology, but I really am sorry. I really, really am.
Darren, not sorry to the tune of £175, though, because that's how much we...
I think that's a fair price to make up for all the damage that was done.
I think so. If you divide that by 40 years, it's a sniff. Yeah. Sorry. Should have said that. Darren, great speaking to you. Speak to you real soon. Take care.
Thanks a lot, guys.
And right now, well, I'm just so thrilled this person messaged in. They haven't included their name, but whoever you are, beautiful stranger, thank you for sharing this. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. We have a small safe in our house for our most important documents. I let my husband deal with it, and to be honest, I just assumed it was stuff like the kids' birth certificates, etc. Recently, I had reason to open it, and all there was a weird bag inside, and nothing else. I looked inside the weird bag, and there were 4 completed World Cup sticker albums.
Yes.
Nothing else. When I questioned my husband on whether they were really our only important possessions, worthy of being protected by being kept in the safe, he declared, "They're my pension."
No.
This message ends with the word. One word, and that word is deluded.
Oh, I thought it was going to be divorced.
Either way.
So I'm going to share with you right now a correspondence from a listener called Chris on National Sticker Day that we just didn't have time to get round to yesterday.
There were so many messages coming in about sticker books I didn't even know existed. An E.T. one.
A diehard sticker book.
I don't remember them.
Yeah, so this is something we're probably going to turn into the bonus material for the Best of the Week That Was podcast, which of course lands every Friday for your enjoyment. But as I say, this message from Chris... Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Matt. Good morning, Andrea. I caused a near riot back in the day at high school. I had a spare, mega rare Liverpool shiny badge sticker.
Shinies.
Oh, I love them.
Shinies. They were so problematic. They always have been. Yeah, they always will be. I took around 200 empty packs with the shiny sticker hidden in just one. Ooh. I waited for a full playground to appear at lunchtime. I stood on my mate's shoulders and threw the lot in the air. The packs descended onto the playground floor like snowfall. With bodies diving everywhere. The outcome was several cuts and a pupil with an actual broken ankle. It was what? Like Apocalypse Now, but in Stoke. I got a week-long detention and a letter to my parents for my troubles, and I still, to this day, do not know who got the mega-rare Liverpool shiny badge sticker.
That's amazing. What that is from Chris. Chris paints of the Panini Scramble.
It's like a modern-day Roald Dahl, isn't it?
It really is. Really is. The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio. I know what you're thinking. Is it really National Dress Up Your Pet Day again already?
Comes
yes,
so quick.
It
so
quick. Is. And so, this morning on The Breakfast Show, I want to know two things. How outrageous have your pet costumes got in the past? If you're an owner of a dog or a cat, I mean, can you dress up a budgie? I have absolutely no idea. Obviously, we encourage you to do these things responsibly.
Yeah.
How outrageous have the costumes got? Because, I mean, I've seen ones where one person's Han Solo and they've made their Chow Chow into Chewbacca. It's, you know, it's
there are
wild.
Some impressive ones on social media these days, certainly.
Yeah, so 8, 12, 15 for that. Plus, as I believe, that's quite embarrassing for your pets. I'm going to say that. You're embarrassing your pets.
Yeah.
When has your pet embarrassed you? And often think, is it doing it deliberately to me because I've made it dress up as Yoda? That's what you've got to ask yourself. So how outrageous have your pet costumes got on your National Dress Up Your Pet Day? And when has your pet embarrassed you? Probably rightly so. 8, 12, 15. So our family dog growing up was half Chow and half Alsatian.
Oh, what a mix.
Yeah. His mum was a police dog, Alsatian. Dad was a little Chow with a black tongue and a curly tail. Bruno was his name. Nice. He was massive. He was in the family for 18 years. He lived a long, beautiful life. He was just big and ginger. He was like Brendan Gleeson. So he was so big, I was confident when I was about 8 years old that if I held onto his lead and got on my skateboard, he'd be able to drag me along. I think I'd seen The Simpsons and Bart and Santa's Little Helper.
Yeah,
I ended up over somebody's front wall. That was quite embarrassing. Yeah, that was quite embarrassing.
Really? So he started running?
He started running. It didn't work out. He was a big, powerful beast, is Brendan Gleeson. And you shouldn't be attached to him on a skateboard, is my advice to you guys. Grant from Stockport, who said, Dave, I used to have a cat named George, who was a little unhinged. One day, I had my yearly gas safety check. The chap came in, showed him to the boiler, and then went back into the living room only to hear a loud, blood-curdling scream. I ran back into the kitchen to see the gas man stood there with his trousers round his ankles, scratches down his leg from ankle to thigh, where the cat had attacked him for no reason.
He should have taken his trousers off.
Yeah. If you leave your trousers on, it won't happen.
Why won't trades people wear belts? Come on. We've seen enough. No wonder George attacked you. Pull your trousers up.
So bizarre.
He must have been thinking, there's a man in Daddy's kitchen. And he's taken his trousers down. I have to attack him.
That's not how you inspect the boiler. Come on.
We also have this incredible tale. We have a German shepherd named Duke, and he's a big German shepherd. There are certain dogs that hate Duke, and when they see him, it sets him off, and he's wild. Anyway, one night my fiancée was out with him, and of course here comes a dog that has an issue with Duke, and they set each other off. Duke is going ballistic, and my fiancée is trying to calm him down, but in the end gets flustered and picks Duke up. Ooh. Who's massive, by the way. Yes, you had mentioned that. In doing so, Duke's paw ends up inside my fiancée's pocket. And in the midst of all this, thrashing around, with his paw in the pocket of my fiancée's shorts, they begin to come down in the middle of the road as he's trying to get across holding a big old angry dog.
Amazing.
He was mortified, to say the least.
two stories of trousers around ankles in relation to pets. What the hell is going on?
That's our listeners!
So, Matt, what's going on
here?
Well,
Charlie is pristine. He's a white, fluffy cockapoo, I think he is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Charlie...
Prestigious.
Often we bump into Charlie and his owner in the park while walking my dogs, Fred and Bert. And Fred is quite a loose cannon with most dogs. And if a dog acts slightly submissive, that will send him off. And he'll start, what I would say, asserting his dominance on Charlie.
Oh, poor
right,
Charlie.
I was trying to say this in a sort of family-friendly
100%,
way.
100%,
you can imagine what he's getting
that's
up
the,
to, right?
I want you just out on that side of the line.
And when normally, when he starts asserting his dominance on another dog, I'm like, stop it, Fred, you're embarrassing me, this is ridiculous, you must stop now. But Charlie's owner is, because like, he makes Charlie really dirty and it was pristine and white.
Is he like rolling Charlie around in
all
the...
all over and making him muddy, I just feel so bad. So I try and stop it, but Charlie's owner is like, no, Charlie needs to learn how to make it stop himself. So she stops me stopping Fred doing what he's doing. And we both have to stand there.
Well, does
there.
She like put your hand across your chest? Leave it, mate.
We have to stand
leave it, mate.
And leave it.
Don't get involved. And Charlie, this is their fight.
Charlie's never going to stand up for himself. You can see it in his face.
Charlie loves it.
possibly. But
he's enjoying the play.
I don't know who's
he's enjoying,
enjoying
the rough and tumble.
But we have to stand there for what feels like a minute. It feels like forever.
That's
to be
so
honest.
Awkward.
While well, the two dogs are doing that. And. And then I'll go, look, I'm going to have to make this stop. Because I'm going to have to pull Fred away and this is absolutely outrageous. Please don't make me do that again.
What's Bert doing while this is going on?
Bert's just sitting there watching. He's used to it. He's like, come on.
There's always one.
Do what you're going
to
do,
he likes
Fred.
To watch.
Right. Sicko, isn't he? Yeah, they're both a bike pair, to be fair.
They do say that pets are like their owners, don't they?
Absolute Radio's Three Dart Challenge with Wix Trade Pro.
Yes, welcome to the Absolute Radio Three Dart Challenge. Every presenter has just three darts, but who will achieve the highest score? You can vote on the website right now for whoever you think will win the challenge. And if you're right, you could be winning £1,000 to spend in-store or online at Wix, all thanks to Wix Trade Pro. Get exclusive members access to offers, discounts and more with Trade Pro Rewards. Just download the Wix Trade Pro app. What's more... whichever presenter wins the Three Dart Challenge will be given £5,000 to donate to a charity of their choice. So it is all to play for. And there is not one person in this building that has been taking the Three Dart Challenge more seriously than our guest right now.
Yeah.
Please give it up for the Queen of Rock, Leona Graham. Oh.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Now... you've created your own story arc over the last week, Leona, so bravo.
Didn't mean to.
No, for those about to darts, we salute you. So let's start with the fact that you went and bought your own dartboard for home, and it wasn't like one of the little kids, you know, Luke the Nuke Littler ones that you'd like hang up on the shed door. You went full Oki.
Oh, yeah, I bought the whole kit. Actually, I bought two. I bought one secondhand, which came with a little blackboard surrounding it.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And I was going to make a frame or put it on a wall. My other half had a freak out, said, not having that on the wall.
That's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
So then I bought one which comes on a stand, which you can move around.
Yeah.
Okay, so the nominated room was Harley's room, my son's room, because we decided his wall isn't as precious as everybody else's wall. So we've been training in there. There are a few holes in the wall, unfortunately. Wallpaper as well.
Yeah, okay.
So I've got to do some repairs after all this. But anyway, never mind. I've got the dartboard and I have been practicing, yes.
So this is where, you know, this is the beginning of this story that we're going with Leona. So, you know, you put the time in, you put the effort in, even though it has caused problems for you in your actual home. So committed to the Three Dart Challenge you would practice.
Yeah.
You know, your son's going, please come my room back. Please, you're going, no, keep it down, I'm playing darts.
I was in there at 7 this morning as well.
7 really? This morning,
get
right?
Up, come so, on, get up, I've got to play.
Yeah, just
practice.
Over an hour ago, that is what Leona was doing.
Wow.
So now, well, disaster strikes. Like all good stories, our protagonist needs to face... something harsh.
Yes.
A reality that has landed somewhere truly important with the Three Darts Challenge coming. Yeah. It's landed on your darts hand.
Yes.
Tell everybody what happened.
I have crushed my thumb.
Oh,
and
no.
it's kind of in an embarrassing way. It's in the toilets here at the studios.
Oh, no. Really?
I managed to trap my thumb.
I think you're doing it wrong.
Under the loo seat, and my entire weight of my body
went down. Oh, what? Yeah.
What were you doing with your hands under the loose seat?
I don't know. The seat was crooked.
Right. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Adjusted as I was coming down. Yeah, unfortunately, didn't remove my thumb in time, and the lid of the toilet crushed under my weight.
Oh, no.
I think the same thing happened to Luke Humphries a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And you're holding the thumb in the air.
I'm shouting out in pain. Yeah. It's really throbbing still. The nail's going black.
You're going to have to switch hands for the big showdown.
I'm quite good with my left hand, but no.
Hang on, you can play darts with both hands.
No, I can't play darts with any hand, but I can write with
both
hands.
She's ambidartstrous. Oh, it's amazing. That's amazing.
Very good, sir. So you what do you think, you're going to be okay?
Hopefully it will heal. I put it on ice. I've been, you know, taking care of my thumb. Yeah. Walking around with my thumb in the air. Yeah. Everybody thinks I'm giving them a thumbs up.
You never guess what Leona's bringing back.
Yeah. So people keep stopping you and trying to offer you lifts when you're on your walk.
It's like causing a lot of trouble. It's actually embarrassing. But it doesn't mean that I'm any good at darts. Just want to make that clear.
Okay.
I wanted to practice because I was very rusty. It's been about 20 years.
Don't know. I saw you do it. She did a Robin Hood shot. You know, when he's doing the bow and arrows and he gets an arrow inside another arrow. Well, I've never seen anyone do that.
Yeah, sheer fluke. I did what's called a Robin Hood.
Hang on, what? What's called a Robin Hood? Or as it's called now, a Leona Graham. You threw a dart through another dart.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it's low scoring, so I'm having fun with it.
Yeah, I think it should double the score, but apparently it doesn't.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, I've been scoring between one. Yeah. And my highest was 135.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think what's going to be like when she takes the blindfold off.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us here on The Breakfast Show. If you just found us, well, firstly, welcome. Secondly, you might think that's a mistake shortly because Matt Dyson... I wish I'd never found it. Matt Dyson, someone found something of yours in a way,
well,
didn't they?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
accident.
What's happened here. So tell us what happened that fateful day.
Look, a man put his finger inside my belly button.
What?
Yeah, I know. I never saw it coming.
Wow, you didn't even prepare us for that. You went straight to the end.
I don't know how it happened.
Well, no build up. How it happened.
Look, that's the headline. Let me give you the details.
Right?
So it was a stranger. I'd never met him before.
Oh, no.
He ended with his finger inside my belly button.
Okay, before you go any further, can you cancel Disgleiben, Z? Can you describe this individual?
Yes. So he was just a guy who worked for a charity. He was collecting old furniture.
Old fluff.
So, old fluff, he would have had a field day if he was. But yeah, so he's collecting furniture. We have an old bed where they were taking away the old bed. The metal bits of the bed were in the garden. They went around and got all of them. And then I said, wait there, I'll just go and get the wooden slats for the bed.
When he made his first mistake.
You need the wooden slats. So I go carry the wooden slats then in my arms. There are quite a lot of them. It's quite
like
heavy.
A cartoon character picking up timber.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I walked out the front door and I handed the wooden slats to the man, to the charity worker, and I was holding them and they sort
you were cradling the slats. Mm.
As I handed them over, they sort of they hitched up my jumper.
The slats or the man?
The slats.
Oh, right, okay, cool.
Hitched up the jumper. The man's arm went over the top of the slats to get a purchase on them, and he somehow put his finger in my belly button, and it was like a split second. I went, oh, and I looked at him.
Did you actually say?
He looked at me. He looked to me, didn't really know what to say, and then took his finger away and went underneath and picked up the slats that way.
Did you speak after that moment?
We did not talk
about it. The eye contact
must
have been
wow.
It was just I didn't expect it. I just went, oh. That was quite an unsettling feeling.
Do you think he's telling people? I mean, he's not got the platform of a national breakfast show, but do you think he's said to his partner or his friends, I accidentally stuck my finger in a man's belly button today?
We definitely both knew, because he would have felt it. He would have felt it.
What the fluff?
Well, if you've seen Matt's belly button, you know you've been in there.
That's not a wooden slat. That doesn't feel like a wooden bed.
Yeah, that is one heck of a hairy hole you've got there, young man.
So he knew, I knew, but it was a split second. And then he walked away with the slats, and I've never seen him since, and probably never will see him again. But we just won't talk. We won't ever get to talk about that weird moment we shared.
You say that, he might come round tomorrow and I have a bottle of wine and some flowers for you.
I'd love it if he calls in.
Yes. Oh, no. Are you that man? Have you got fluff embedded under the fingernail of your index finger? If so, whilst you were just trying to do a good deed for charity.
Yeah.
After Matt's belly button story, when somebody just trying to help out by taking a bed to be reused, to be rehoused, took the slats from Matt Dyson's arm and accidentally stuck his finger into that man's belly button. Yeah. I want to talk about the things that happened, but we never speak of it again. So what's happened in your life, maybe with a friend, a colleague, a family member, your other half, that you never talk about, whether it was at school, at work, on holiday? I want to know about it. Send your stories in their rawest form. Do not worry about that. You just get your stories out there. I'll make sure they're broadcastable. We'll do all the heavy lifting when it comes to that, this end. As I say, it's 8, 12, 15. If you wish to remain anonymous, that's no problem at all. 8, 12, 15. It happened, but we never speak of it again. Tom from Lincoln's got in touch saying, "Hi, Dave. My workmate went into the local shop for his lunch yesterday. We've been using the same shop for over a year, and we are quite friendly with the shop owner now. Yesterday, my mate went to say thank you after paying for his items. As he opened his mouth to speak, a massive burp escaped. Think Barney from The Simpsons. The shop owner didn't know how to react. My mate turned around and walked out utterly ashamed and embarrassed. We went in again this morning and it was clear that they will never speak of
yes,
it again."
Nice, respectful silence.
Yeah. Tom from Lincoln. Burping in somebody's face, sticking your finger in someone's belly button. I mean, it's all going on, isn't it?
You can't undo it, can you, once it's happened?
Joining us right now, we have Mel. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team.
Mel, welcome along to the show. So, years ago, you were shopping at Chester Mews after having had a large meal. You were walking amongst the shops. Tell everybody what you decided to try and do discreetly, Mel.
Yeah, well, as usual, I was having a large meal. I was walking along and suddenly felt the need to let out some wind.
Redacted.
So... okay. Some wind, right.
You let out some wind. Okay. In your message, you described it as a large...
Redacted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So did you go ahead? I was going to say, did you follow through with this? But that's not the right thing. Did you go ahead, Mel? Did you go ahead?
Please tell me we're not going down that road.
Did you go ahead with this, Mel?
I did, yes. I thought I was discreetly letting out a nice large fart.
Oh, redacted.
Okay. And then, as I said, you can just tell your story in its rawest form. I'm going to have to be doing the editing here and making this broadcastable for people, which is difficult on live
radio.
To do
it live.
I hadn't thought that through, actually, had I? So you went ahead and you did the large smelly...
Redacted.
And and then you discovered something to your horror. It happened, but we never speak about it. What happened?
Yeah, I discreetly looked behind me just to make sure if anyone noticed, only to see a small child standing behind me whose head was in direct alignment with my bottom.
Redacted.
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 Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, Mel.
What was the look on the child's face like, Mel?
I quickly decided to walk quickly, not look back.
You just walked away. That poor lad. I mean, you said years ago. I mean, how old do you think the child was then, and how old would you guesstimate he is now?
Well, probably at least 10 years ago.
10 years ago. They might still remember it. If he might be out there now.
GCSEs. Mel, thank you so much. It happened. We never speak of it again. Thank you for your time and joining us on The Breakfast Show. Wishing you a happy weekend ahead. Good morning, team. My sister once grabbed a box from her boss, but instead of getting the underside of the box, got a handful of his...
Redacted.
That's worse than my belly button.
That's way worse.
Yeah. They just stared at each other in shock until she slowly released her grip.
Oh, no. Not the redacted.
He must have been in pain as well, the boss. God, wow.
I don't know how I'm going to use redacted on this next one, but I'm just going for it. Dave, I once had one too many and fell asleep next to my now ex-boyfriend when I was suddenly woken up by him as I'd apparently lost control of my
redacted
functions in our bed. I then
redacted
it all the way across his parents' house and into the
redacted.
Needless to say, I never saw or spoke to him again. I will, as I'm sure you will understand, remain anonymous.
Amazing.
Wow. Absolute Radio's Three Dart Challenge with Wix Trade Pro.
Yes, the Absolute Radio Three Dart Challenge. Every presenter has just three darts, but who will achieve the highest score? We've teamed up with our friends at Wix Trade Pro, and whichever Absolute Radio presenter scores the highest will get £5,000 to donate to a charity of their choice. What's more, you can vote on the website right now for whoever you think will win the challenge, and if you're right, you'll be getting £1,000 to spend in-store or online at Wix. And currently, topping the vote, the firm front-runner for some time now, according to our listeners, is John Richardson. And it gives me great pleasure to say John joins us on the show right now. Good morning, John.
Oh, no.
You don't want it.
I know this
you
isn't
don't
the
like
way
it.
To start. This is not the way to start any radio interview. I hate you for this, Dave. I hate you for this. Darts was my private little thing that I do in the secrecy of my own home, and I pretend I'm good, and I tell other people I'm good, and they never have to find out that I'm not. And now look.
I'm so sorry to do this to you, John. I really am. It is, as you say, a private hobby, and now it's very public. But people believe that you are going to win the Three Dart Challenge because, and we've been talking about this on breakfast, you grew up with a pub in your garden and therefore you must have had access to a dartboard from a young age.
Well, my dad is a very good darts player and used to be in a darts league, so I did used to go... I used to go and watch him around the sort of pubs. He used to play with Alan Warren a little. I don't know if people know him.
Yeah.
So he's a very... The only thing he's never done on a dartboard, he says, is a 9-dart finish. Apart from that, he's done everything else. So
really?
It is in the blood. But also in the blood is failure and me disgracing my family. So, you know, which will win out on the day. It could go either way. I haven't spoken to my dad for 20 years because of something that happened around Leeds United. So...
John, how does it feel to be top, though? You know, the listeners, they are voting for you in their thousands. I mean, does that add pressure to you, or actually does it build confidence?
No, not at all. Absolutely. It's horrific. Because I tell you, what they don't know is what I know is going to happen, because I've had two practice sessions for this because I'm taking it incredibly seriously. I've played for about 5 minutes each time and I've hit a 180 both times.
Whoa.
And I've only hit about 10 ever. So I know from the way practice is going well that there is no way I don't hit like a 3 or a 26. There's just no way. And what will happen is somebody, I watched Ben Burrell having a little practice.
Yeah.
I saw him stood square onto the board, throwing the darts like javelins.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact he is going to hit treble 19, double top and double 13 and make me look an absolute fool.
Oh, so you've been like looking at people's techers, John. You're saying he was front onto the board. That's an unusual stance to take at the hockey, isn't it, John?
It's a stance I've only seen taken by Kate Humble, the BBC presenter, who knocked me out of a darts tournament years ago doing exactly the same thing.
You've been rattled by a stance.
I can't tell you how long I'm thinking about this. It's the first thing that comes into my head in the morning. I just want it done now. It's like a cup final. I'd rather lose and regroup for next season and just have it done than this constant fear.
John, the thing is, you posted on the John Richardson Show WhatsApp group the 180 that you got. I mean, they're all so neatly in a row. It's almost like, you know, the 180 is perfect already, but it almost looked like the perfect 180.
I know. And do you know what? I did it again this morning just because I knew I was coming on to talk to you. I had a little go and I put another one on this morning and I changed my technique this morning.
Okay.
I think you've helped me become a better player because... Mm. Do you want a little tip?
Yeah, we do.
What I've started doing. I've realised if I forget about the dart and just throw my hand, that's what I'm doing now. That's my new technique.
What?
I was worried about my grip. I was worried about where I was on the shaft. You've just got to hold the dart however you feel comfortable and then throw your hand at the board. That's what I'm doing now.
Wow. Okay.
You mean, but with a holding a dart though, right?
Oh, don't put the dart down.
You're just not making up the score. Yeah. Just there you go, 180.
Yeah, when I posted this 180, there's no darts in the board, but I imagine they went in the triple 20.
No, you definitely got a 180, John. Of course you did. Yeah.
You must be tidy though, you two, to be leading this. You must be tidy.
Well, my history with it really is that I used to play.
The hesitation said it all.
No, in our house in South London growing up, we had a dartboard that was kept under the stairs, and it came out a few times a year, particularly when my nan came to visit. And we'd hang it on the wall, you know, in the back room, and we'd have a little throw. And then I kind of moved away from darts until over the Christmas period, where I had some time to kind of watch TV, and I just kind of fell in love with it. I love that new breed of player and characters that are coming through, and I like how, you know, Luke Littler was kind of answering the crowd who were booing him and saying, "You've paid for me to be here, you buffoons." I think that was exact words. So I kind of fell in love with the drama of it, which is why I was keen to kind of do it on the breakfast show, you know, in 2026. We're going to talk names and walk-on music. Do you think that these little accoutrements are important to a darts player such as yourself having a good throw, or is it just extra garnish and noise that you just don't need?
I think it depends on how your mind works. I think Stephen Bunting's quite a confident player, so having that big music walk-on and getting the crowd behind him makes him believe, oh, I'm going to do it because I'm great. I think for someone like me, it just makes me think, well, why did you do that? So I had to deliberately... The only time I've ever been asked to pick one, I had a song called Big John, and we had a gag where two people are walking down and I sort of come from behind them because I'm obscured because they're both... I mean, these guys were giant. These were like 5'10", 5'11", you know, real big guys. So I think it can help, but, you know, have you got nicknames?
I'm Dave, 3 darts, 5 grand, Berry. Mine's kind of meant to intimidate the competition into the fact I'm going to be winning this money for my charity of choice. Matt's, you might want to explain
the hairy
to John.
Situation is what I'm known as. It's an old nickname of mine, but yeah, so I've used it for many years, so I thought it was quite fitting for today. But it sounds like you're rattled already, John. It sounds like this has got inside your head and you're going to panic before the big day. I'm worried.
Yeah, it really has got in my head. Can I just clear up as well? Do I have to throw? Can I bring my own darts, or is that frowned upon?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Sure
I know it's been vetoed from all the producers in the studio.
Ones. Yeah,
because John can currently see us in the studio. Here they are, John. John can see us in the studio right now.
There's two different. What's the normal weight?
I mean, it varies. That's you know, it, if you're Ryan Searle, he's throwing the heaviest darts on the tour at the moment. Yeah, but some players like a lighter dart.
They are lighter compared to the ones that I was throwing as a child with Nana. And I hope I'm stronger than I am now than I was when I was 8. But you never know.
Can I say that I don't see many players on the tour throwing a rainbow dart?
Yeah.
Suggest that this is not a professional outfit.
We thought we'd bring some razzmatazz.
Yeah.
They're very pretty.
And look at the Wix branding on the flight. Yeah. They're beautiful. Creation.
No, you can't. It'd be like, if we ever do like a pool or snooker challenge, we don't want you bringing your own cue and like screwing it together. You know, it's not the colour of money, the darts version.
I'm going to turn up in full kit.
Listen, John, we said, you know, you've been obviously number one, you know, in the hearts, minds and votes of our darling listenership. But your friend, Matt Ford, has been kind of hanging around third place for quite a while as well. So there's not much in it. You're both top three. Is there a rivalry there? Is it a case of, I don't necessarily want to win it, but I'd love it if we beat them? Is there a bit of that about it?
Yeah, look, I imagine I know the charity he's throwing for, and I think it's a great charity. Mm-hmm. So obviously, let's not forget the true meaning of this is about money for charity. And all I will say is, if he beats me in the darts, I'm fine with it, as long as Nottingham Forest get relegated. And I think everyone in the studio would support me
off.
In that view.
Cut him off.
Speaking of the charity element, and you know, it's nice of you to bring that up, John, because that's why we're kind of doing this. Which charity, were you to win, would you be giving the £5,000 to?
Well, mine will be going to Bright Young Dreams, which is a campaign, an offshoot of Sheffield Children's Hospital charity, which is raising money for children's mental health.
Well, such a good cause. And John, we wish you all the best of it. And we're so grateful for your time on The Breakfast Show. Of course, John is going to be back tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Alongside comedian Lindsay Santori for his always brilliant show. And you can continue to vote for who you think will win the Three Dart Challenge on our website right now. Give it up for John Richardson, everyone. Cheers, John.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks. And let's still speak after this.
Five words. £5,000.
Absolute Radio.
Hoping that to be the case is Alfie. Good morning, Alfie.
Morning, Dave. Morning, team.
Alfie, hi, welcome Alfie. Along to the show. Alfie resides in Leicester, is a drama teacher, joins us in the morning on Absolute 80s and has scored 5 out of 5.
Really? Ooh. Big talk.
Big talk. So, Alfie, first of all, let's focus in on the drama teacher. What kind of age group do you teach?
Well, I teach secondary school, so ages 11 to 16.
Okay, and what are the kind of 16-year-olds doing? What are they getting up to at the business end of things?
Well, they're doing Blood Brothers at the minute. We're going to see it at the end of the month in Coventry.
Oh, wow.
Love that.
Nice.
Love Blood Brothers.
Studying that, which I'm looking forward to.
And also, the Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime is playing a part in your curriculum at the moment.
Yeah, so year 8 learn that at the moment, and that's coming to Curve later this year, so we might have to book a trip to go see that.
Oh, you've got to do that. I love it. Sir, can we go? You know when you used to get to go to the theatre when you were at school?
We Simply Must Keep the Arts Alive,
We
Dave.
Simply Must! And that is a fabulous production as well, by the way. I've been lucky enough to see it. So, Alfie, I believe that you would most like to play alongside Matt Dyson today, and that must be linked to his performance as Onslow. And this must be... game recognising game when it came to skills honed
in GCSE drama lessons
100% bringing that character back to life from Keeping Up Appearances. So let's spin the random player generator and see if you'll be Blood Brothers. Here we go.
5 words, £5,000. Player generator.
Matt Dyson, Andrea Fox. Free choice.
Come on.
It is Matty D in play.
Good luck.
Time to leave the studio, please, Matthew. Here's your walkout music. Farewell. Okay, then, Alfie, I'm going to give you 5 words. You need to say the first word that comes to your mind. I'll give Matt Dyson the same 5 words. If you say the same as one another, well, you win £5,000. Good luck. Let's play 5 words, £5,000. Your first word is... coffee.
Tea.
Up next is shampoo.
Conditioner.
What's the first word that comes to mind when I say book? B-O-O-K. Book.
Shelf.
Diamond.
Ring.
And the final word is... tree. T-R-E-E. Tree.
Forest.
Okay. Alfie, nicely done. Your 5 words are now locked in. Stay exactly where you are. Matt Dyson is in play. Next.
5 words, £5,000.
Absolute Radio.
So, the hairy situation is back in the studio. Alfie is ready to play for £5,000, and he has given us, well, a very, very good set of answers.
Okay.
So, let's get underway. Good luck, Alfie.
Thank you very much.
Here we go. First words, coffee.
Tea.
Correct.
Yes.
Well done. Shampoo.
Two options, really. I'm going to go conditioner.
Correct.
Yes.
At least you're not going to be hearing that song again.
Yes.
Okay. Two down, three to go.
What are you thinking when I say to you the word book?
Bookshop.
Bookshelf.
Bookshelf.
I would have gone bookmark. Mm,
bookmark, yeah, there are many good bookcase, options yeah. for book. Yeah.
Alfie, unfortunately, so despite it being a perfectly acceptable answer, you're not going to be winning £5,000 this morning, but there are still two words remaining, and it would be nice to get a 4 out of 5. So let's continue, shall we? What you got, Fund?
Ring.
Correct.
Yes, or geezer. Ring or geezer, isn't it? Sure, surely.
And finally, tree.
Trunk.
Forest.
Oh.
So it is 3 out of 5 on 5 words, 5 grand. Alfie, thanks for joining us in the morning on 80s.
Thank you very much.
And listen, man, keep up the great work. You sound really passionate about what you do, and having great teachers in a young person's life is a vital thing. True so that. Continue success and keep that enthusiasm and get the kids to the theatre and keep teaching and doing what you're doing. Well done, mate.
Thank you very much. Have a great day, guys.
Cheers, Alfie. Take care.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.